And now for reading and writing and radio.
Mother Rabbit looked very sad as Father explained that Bun died because something was wrong with the way she was made. Bun was not strong enough for life in the world. He said that it wasn't our fault. She didn't die because we'd ignored her or had been angry with her. He said it wasn't his or Mother's fault either. It wasn't anyone's fault. No one could have saved Bun. Mother began to cry, and we all snuggled together. Father had tears running down his face as he began to wash Mother's tears away.
That passage is from Thumpy's Story, a book by Nancy Dodge. But can you write about loss and grieving too?
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I have here with me today Sister Jane Marie Lamb of St. John's Hospital, the Share Office, and Nancy Dodge, who has written a book called Thumpy, Thumpy's Story, a Story of Love and Grief Shared. And we're going to talk some today about the book and about love and grief. So welcome, Nancy and Sister Jane Marie.
Thank you.
Why don't you start, Sister Jane Marie, and tell us something about the Share Office and how it came to be and the work that you do there.
Okay. For many years, I have worked with parents and children, and about 8 years ago, I became aware of the need to have a special program to help moms and dads when they had a baby that died. And as I worked with the moms and dads, then I became aware that it was difficult for them to know what to say to their children when there had been a death. And so we began looking at ways that we could be more supportive. In my own life, I had experienced the death of my older sister when I was only 9 years old, and I realized that my family didn't know what to do to help me. And so that is why we began the program.
And Nancy, how did you get in on all this, and how did this book come into being?
Well, Sister Jane Marie and I have been friends for a great number of years, and I had found a nest of orphaned baby rabbits and taken them in. My son and I had raised them until we could let them go. One of the baby rabbits died. We grieved. The other rabbits grieved. And I told Sister Jane Marie that I thought this would be an excellent story to help children understand about death when they lose someone that they love. And no one else wrote the story. One day I just had it in my head and knew how to write it down. And after a lot of talking with other people, we sort of polished it up and it became Thumpy's Story.
A number of years ago, someone called me and said that that they had a family that had lost a child, a baby, and that the older child needed help. And they were wondering, because I teach about children's books, what children's books I knew that would help with the death of a brother or sister. And I looked around and couldn't find anything, and as I recall, I asked you, Sister Jane Marie, and you said there wasn't really anything that would fill this particular need. And so I had to report to these people, gave them some ideas, but I said there really isn't a book that helps with this particular thing. And so then along came Thumpy and Thumpy's Story.
This is what we found since we have printed the book, that people all over the country have responded in that way. There really isn't any other book that speaks as directly to children about their feelings when they've had some kind of a loss. And the loss could be other than just the loss of a baby. It could be the loss of grandpa or grandma or a pet or moving away from friends or a divorce or any of the things that they grieve about. They have much the same symptoms.
So grieving is a process, is something that we go through and that there are certain parts to it. Is that what we're hearing?
That's right. When you first experience grief, it's like it doesn't seem real. It's hard to believe that the person has died or has gone away, whatever has happened. Because sometimes when the family has a divorce, you also grieve the loss of the person who's no longer there. And so until you come to understand that, it's very difficult. And then you move on into a stage where you're asking all kinds of questions, and that's very normal, to ask questions and to try to figure out what happened and what is going on now, and even trying to understand all the feelings that are inside of you.
Why don't I interrupt you and read a page out of Thumpy that is dealing with those questions.
Okay.
And that will show how you've put it in here, Nancy. The two little rabbits have just realized that Bun has died, is gone from the nest. We were stunned. We had so many questions. What does die mean? Where is Bun now? Can we see her? Is she happy? Are we going to die too? We didn't understand. We just hurt inside because of Bun. We could tell that Father and Mother hurt too. Our parents cuddled us. They said that we seemed very strong and that we shouldn't worry. They explained that dying is when breath stops and warmth stops and movement stops. Bun's specialness, that part of her which made her Bun and not someone else, was gone. All that was left behind was her body with no spirit. There is no hurting where Bun's spirit is now, they said. She is in a soft nest that God has made for her. She is happy with God. Some day, a long time from now, we will all die and be with her again. Mother and Father had laid Bun's body in a special place. They would take us there that day, and we could help cover her with grass. Blaze and I felt better after talking with Mother and Father. Now, you surely must have thought about each one of those questions and how you were going to deal with it in this book, Nancy.
Yes, I did think about them, and I talked about them. Sister Jane Marie and I talked about each of those things to try to bring out what the children do feel when they have that kind of a loss themselves.
I heard of a friend told me of a cousin of hers whose mother had died, and they never even told the child what had happened. She was 4 years old, the mother just vanished, and it affected that child all her life. Here I see that you have father and mother taking the two little rabbits that have survived to help cover the baby, the dead baby, with grass. Is this something that you recommend, Jane Marie and Nancy, that a child should be able to see the dead person?
First of all, I think it's important to prepare the child for what to expect, and then let the child be able to make their own decision.
But now, just a minute. We're talking about very little children here.
Yeah.
We know you kids that are listening are third to sixth or seventh grade, most of you. There may be some second graders. So you're saying even very little children?
Yes, I think a very little child has a much better grasp if they're able to see. The youngest child that I've really worked with over any period of time is a little girl 2.5 years old. And when her baby sister died, she held her. In fact, she wanted to hold her a second time, and she talked to her. She stroked her, and it was a very beautiful experience for the little girl. And I followed her over a 2-year period, and there was never any painful experience as part of that. She did not have nightmares, but she was able to remember her sister. It wasn't all left to her imagination, and she could talk to her mom and dad about the baby because she had seen the baby. It wasn't a big secret, you know, for the cousin that you talked about. It's a big secret that we're not supposed to talk about. And then what do I do with all these feelings I have inside? I feel sad and angry and irritable. I can't remember as well as I used to. And maybe if it's an older child, they have trouble in school. And the child doesn't understand why they're having all these feelings and difficulties. So the more involved they are, the better able they are to process the grief.
Mm-hmm. And this goes for all ages, adults.
That's right.
The ages of you kids listening, little kids. I think one of the most awful things about when something terrible happens is that you're afraid to say anything about it because of affecting other people. I mean, if your parents, say, are in bad shape, you don't dare bring it up. You don't dare say, hey, I'm feeling bad too. So there's this big sort of conspiracy of silence. Nobody will talk about it, and then maybe it'll go away. But it doesn't go away.
No. That's what I did when I was a child. I was afraid to say anything because I knew that my parents were upset, and I knew that it hurt them when they talked about my sister. So I was very careful about what I said, and I feel that I really didn't work through the death of my sister until 20 years later when my brother died. And then after he died, I was able to talk about it and get those feelings out and work through both deaths at the same time. And I'd just like to say to you as children that what happens with the processing of grief with a child is a little bit different than with adults. Adults hold on to it and really cry and mourn for a longer period of time. You can go on and get involved in other things and kind of forget some of it. But then when you go to the next growth and development stage, then you begin to process it at that level so that the grief does affect you throughout a long period of your life. And the problem is that adults don't always understand this, and they may be upset and say, well, you don't even act like you care anymore, when that's a normal way for a child to respond. It's not going to overwhelm you in the same way that it does an adult.
And you may express it differently, too.
Yes.
Here is another page from Thumpy that's talking about these kinds of feelings. It has been hard for all of us since Bun died. Blaze is often mean and cross. And I suppose then an adult might say, why can't you be nice? You know, we know we're all having a hard time. Why can't you be nice?
That's right.
Well,
very
the
normal.
Being mean and cross is part of the upset and the grieving. Blaze is often mean and cross, and we both have nightmares. Sometimes I don't feel like eating because I have a lump in my throat and stomach. One of my adult students last night, a 24-year-old young man, had written a story that involved the death of his father, and he said that he had not eaten anything, nor had he talked. He had not talked, and this had happened when he was 16. He said it had been 2 months before he had talked more than 5 words a day, so that the grief was a physical thing with him, eating and speaking. Well, let's see. Sometimes I don't feel like eating because I have a lump in my throat and stomach, but Mother says that I have to eat. Blaze eats all the time. He says he feels so hollow inside. Every time we wake up, we expect to see Bun there with us. Sometimes we can hear her breathe. We think about her all the time.
When a child has difficulty eating, we do encourage them to eat and tell them they must. But when a child overeats, we sometimes don't pick that up as part of the grieving process. But that also can be a part of it. And what you need when you feel hollow and need to eat extra, or when you aren't able to eat at all, is you need to just go and be cuddled. You know, let your family or let somebody who cares about you be with you and just do warm fuzzies for you. And I think that that's what we all need that during the time of grief. And, you know, as we talked about all those feelings, I was thinking, we don't always understand when we're grieving where those feelings are coming from. We don't understand why we're irritable. We may not connect it to the death of the person. And so, you know, don't put yourself down and say, I'm bad because I'm acting this way, but try to talk about it so you can begin to understand it.
That it's okay to feel the way that you feel, even if it may seem inappropriate to you, that there are many ways of reacting to loss.
And sometimes it's very hard in school because it's difficult to concentrate on your schoolwork and you can't remember as well as you usually can remember. And sometimes you feel very alone because your friends don't know what to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
They say that subtraction and division is more difficult during the time of grieving than adding and multiplying.
Well, that is interesting.
Well, I think it's because it's a loss. Take away.
Oh, of course. But how interesting.
It's on a subconscious level, but it does affect them.
And that the adding and the multiplying are positive.
That's right.
Things, and, well, isn't that interesting? I've noticed here in the Thumpy book, and by the way, I should mention, too, that it's a beautiful little book, nicely illustrated by a local young man named Kevin Vieira, who's done beautiful pictures of these rabbits. They're not all cutesy rabbits. They look like real rabbits, mm-hmm. which are cute enough without having to be doctored up to look cartoony.
We didn't want anything to be artificial. So many people in our culture make death look unreal. They want the person to look like they're alive when they are really dead, and we wanted it to be very natural and not artificial.
Well, you've succeeded in this book, and Kevin has done just lovely natural drawings of these bunnies. But in your words, too, you have not used artificial words. For instance, a lot of times when people talk about death, they say the person has passed on, or they say the person has gone to sleep, or they say has gone to be with God, which may or may not be true, but is still not saying the ugly word, the word that we're afraid of, which is death. And you haven't been afraid of that word in this book.
And you know, children are not afraid of the word death unless we put that fear into them. Recently, my mother died, and one of my great nieces came to the funeral. She had never been to a funeral before, and her mother was very anxious about how Elizabeth was going to respond. And my brother said, "Elizabeth does not have any hang-ups. Don't give her any." And I come from a very large family, and we said, you know, just watch the other cousins and see what they do. And she was fine. So death is a part of life, and it only has to be scary if we make it scary.
It used to be that when people died, they were tended in their own homes and washed and dressed, and people came and visited and so forth. And so it was a much more natural part of life now than it is now. And most children probably don't see a dead person, certainly not in that kind of setting.
It's really not that scary. Like I said, I've worked with very young children, and I've had the little 2.5-year-old held her baby sister. Just recently, a little 5-year-old held her baby sister when she died. And it's helpful to see and touch the person to realize that there's nothing that different about them. Their heart has stopped, and they're not as warm as they would have been. There isn't the movement, and they don't respond in the same way. But there's still a person there, and it's someone who's special to you.
And that you will never forget. You will put it behind you, and you will live through your grief, but you won't forget. And I think this is something that the book does, too. We wonder what Bun would think about flowers and turtles and butterflies and all the other things we're discovering. Because you do. You think, had this person grown up? Had this person gone on living? And this is true for any age, too. Exploring is fun, but it would be more fun with Bun. Sometimes we still wonder if we did something wrong to make her die. Other times we are angry at her for leaving us. Then it helps us to ask our questions again. Sometimes we see our parents looking sad and quiet, and then we know they are thinking about Bun, too. When that happens, we cuddle close to comfort them. We all remember, and remembering is a kind of life. Bun is still with us in our hearts and in our dreams. And then on the last page, it helps to talk about Bun, and it makes me feel better to share our sadness with you. That's the reader. If someone you loved has died, it will make you feel better to share your sadness. Maybe you can talk to your family or a special friend. Blaze and I talk to each other and to our parents. Sometimes we just sit close and cry together. Afterwards, we don't ache so much inside. Then Blaze isn't cross and my stomach doesn't hurt. I think you will feel better, too. And then the story says this. We are beginning to have happy times when we can run and play. Bun would enjoy that. She liked to have fun. We know that Bun is glad that we are able to be happy. And I think it's so important that you give yourself permission and know that everyone else gives you permission to be happy again. You know, if because of death all we can do is be unhappy and miserable, then what is the joy of life? And so I'm sure that any person that dies, be it an older person or a little infant that has never known, if that infant could know, it would say, be glad.
And I'm happy, you know, when you think about the person, they don't hurt anymore. They don't have pain. The hardest thing is for us because we miss that person and the things that we wanted to do and the things that we were able to do in the past can't be anymore.
And the hopes and the dreams and the joys.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, why rabbits? Why didn't you write it about people?
Well, to start with, because I had the baby rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And because I loved them, and when one of them died, I did grieve about that. But the other thing, I think, is it's easier for us to relate to the bunnies. It doesn't hurt quite as much, or it doesn't threaten us in quite the same way as to write a story just directly about people.
Do you think that the kids reading, the little children reading this book, realize that it's people?
Absolutely. I think children have less trouble with that than adults do.
Because, I mean, it isn't really a story about bunnies. It's a story about people.
No, it's really a story about people. And I think that boys and girls need to realize that in real bunny life, Father Rabbit doesn't really play a big role in the rabbit family. And we modeled the story after a human family and involved him in the way we would want a human father to be involved, not
yes.
in the way a natural male rabbit would be involved.
Are you finding that the book is being noticed and accepted, that there are...
There's wide acceptance. The book is sold very well, and in a lot of different areas of the country, in fact, in the world, it's in Canada and Australia and the Dominican Republic.
And I understand hospitals, for instance, are buying 200 copies
yes,
at a time
right.
to have for...
And universities are using the book in classes for social workers and people mm-hmm. that might be supportive of children who are grieving.
And I think it's a useful book not only for the grieving of a young sibling that has died, as in the story, but for understanding any sort of loss.
Yes, and we have had people who have used it specifically when there's been a divorce in the family. And the children have responded by saying, now I understand why I feel the way that I do. And I think the biggest message that Thumpy has for boys and girls is that it's all right to feel the way you feel. It's okay. And other people feel that way, too. You're not all alone in your feelings.
One of the other things that it does is it gives the parents a way to talk to you about it because they don't know what to say or how to relate to you. And
they're having their troubles, too.
Yes, and they pick up the words, and Thumpy really says it for them. And so then they can begin to talk about it, and you have a common language. And like Nancy said, sometimes it's easier to talk about the rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
But one little six-year-old boy said, Mommy, this is not a story about rabbits. This is a story about our little brother and our family.
Yes. Well, what we're going to ask you listeners today to write about, some of you will have lost a sibling, or your mother might have miscarried, and the baby that you'd been waiting for never even came to term. You could write about that loss and about how you coped with it and how your family coped with it, or maybe didn't cope so well. But any of you that are listening have had losses. Some of you have lost grandparents. I know that some of you have lost parents. Some of you have had losses in divorce, have had losses of pets, of moving away from friends, or of friends moving away from you. We all have loss, and we all grieve, and we go through these processes. And so what I'd like you to write for today would be something about a loss that you've had and something about the coping, the feelings and the coping and how you came through it or how you are working through it. And before we quit, I think Nancy has something that she really needs to say, too. That
yes, I feel very strongly that I want to let you know, boys and girls, that really little rabbits are much better off with their mothers. And I really wouldn't want to suggest to any of you that you go out and start looking for, excuse me, for little baby rabbits to rescue. They're much better off if they're raised by mom.
You got yours because the mower went over
yes,
the,
and
the nest.
We knew that the mother had been killed.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why we took them.
Is there anything more that either of you would like to say?
Well, I would just like to say that if you have a grief experience and you're having difficulty relating to your parents, find someone that you can talk with, somebody who will listen to you and let you say what it is that you're feeling. It may be your teacher, it may be somebody in your church, it may be an aunt or uncle, or it may be an older brother or sister. It doesn't really matter who it is, but you just need to find somebody that will let you talk about it and not tell you you shouldn't feel this way. Because each one of us will respond differently, and however you feel, that's valid, it's okay. So talk about it to somebody.
And the talking is a very important way, and writing is a kind of talking. So if you write about it, that will be helping too.
Yes, very much so.
So thank you so much, Nancy Dodge and Sister Jane Marie, for being on Reading and Writing and Radio today.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.